Welcome to the DL.
It's Tuesday morning. I thought the winter was over. We have snow.
It was seriously not predicted. I think I saw it at like 6 o'clock yesterday's article. Oh, by the way, we get 5 inches, huh?
Yeah, two hour delay for us, which is worse, honestly. So this will be a pretty efficient show because I have to go out and shovel. The big news, and it's our call of the day in a different way, but I'll get to that in a second. Carmelo Anthony, New York Knickerbocker. New York is relevant in basketball again. God save the world.
Well, we'll see. It just, I don't know. This whole thing smacks to me of, relevant and interesting more than anything because of the power play going on behind the scenes. And I honestly don't know how much this makes them better, but we'll see.
Wilbon thinks it makes them a lot better. And look, we always talk.
He's friends with like 10 people involved here. They're my friends.
No, so. I say this about Stephen A. Smith too. Wilbon knows the NBA. I mean, I don't necessarily care what Wilbon's opinion is on Roger Federer, but I care what Wilbon thinks about the NBA because I trust his opinion. And he thinks that this is a deal that at least could work. I mean, Chauncey Billups was a throw-in on this deal. I mean, he's 100 years old, but I'll be interested to see what our NBA friends think about this in the blog world. But to me, this is going to sell jerseys more than Danilo Gallinari or whatever will ever do in New York.
Tickets, because that was the first thing Ravel was doing last night was tweeting, okay, checking the aftermarket, how much tickets going for. So that's from a business perspective, the garden will be buzzing again. That's for certain.
Again, credit to Darren Ravel. He just tweeted out, and I didn't get a chance to look yet. The New York Post and Daily News go with our original headline winner, Hello Mello. Yeah. Look, Post and Daily News, you got to get better than that. I mean, one of you has to come up with something better knowing what the other people are going to do. You can't have the same headline on the newspaper. You can't. It's always funny when it happens, though.
Now, they must have thought, this is so obvious, they won't use it.
Right. This is too obvious even for the Post. I mean, the Daily News has got to read. I mean, the Post is going with that and just booking the paper. The Daily News has to think a little more. Our call of the day, by the way, is never trust an athlete when he speaks. And I had the video clipped up, and I put it on YouTube, of Craig Sager trying to interview, I don't know if you saw this, during the NBA All-Star Game, they did all these puff sideline interviews, and Ray Allen and the guys from the Hawks and whatnot, and one of them was Carmelo, and Craig Sager tried to get Carmelo to talk about these meetings he had with the Knicks and the Nets, and if he was going to still be in Denver by the deadline, and Kobe Bryant basically cock-blocked Sager. I mean, just totally would not let Carmelo answer any questions and cut him off every time, and if you could see Sager's face, they show the back of him. I bet he was fuming at Kobe because he figures, I got Carmelo. He's been talking all weekend. Let's get this on the record on TNT. There's millions of people, more people that have watched an All-Star game in forever watching this game. Let's get the scoop right now. And first of all, I don't agree with that. I think let the game play. I don't think that's the time to ask. Carmelo didn't want anything to do with it. He said, let's just focus on the game. And Kobe took over. The one question, however, that Carmelo did answer was when Sager asked, you have a game on Tuesday. The Nuggets have a game on Tuesday. Will you be there in a Denver uniform? And he said, yeah, I think we play Memphis. I'll be there. And Sager said, in a Denver uniform. He said, I'll be there in a Denver uniform. Lies. Lies.
Well, yes, but that wasn't necessarily his choice. The whole thing wasn't necessarily his choice because he probably thought, this is going to 11th hour. I'll be there because I don't think they're going to get this thing done yet. And it appears that they basically worked the Knicks over for what they wanted, and then they could pull the trigger because they never wanted it. I mean, they wanted the Nets deal, but there was a doubt whether he would sign the extension. Once they got enough pieces out of the Knicks, then they said, all right, cool, let's get this thing done. So I won't necessarily fault him for that one.
I say tongue-in-cheek. I mean, he doesn't know what's going on, one, because his agent's probably working deals during that game, and two, that's why it's stupid to ask the players these questions.
It's idiotic to ask. Yeah, you don't bother because the guy can't. Yeah, I love it when the reporters feel compelled to ask questions they know. They know they cannot get an honest answer for. There's no answer that can be given. I mean, I guess maybe you take the shot that the guy has a brain cramp and says something stupid, but you ask the question knowing there is no way in hell he's going to give you an honest answer.
And so I like the fact that Kobe – it's just the weirdest thing in the world, but I've started to like Kobe Bryant as he gets older. I think this happens with people that you hate but are really, really good. Like when they're young and you hate them as players, but you really hate them. I mean, obviously Kobe's had some off the court issues, but you sort of hate them because they're a rival. Kobe sort of dissed Philadelphia and it's from around here. But then after a while, you just start to respect their game. And then a new guy comes around who you hate even more, LeBron James in this case. And then you realize, hey, maybe we were wrong on Kobe this whole thing. I just sort of like the guy now.
I will. Yeah, I agree with that. Actually, I feel the same way. And a lot of it for us was the dissing locally that you kind of got to buck up your ass about him, as that other people may not have had. Other people might not have liked him for arrogance, and then of course off the court issues. But I have grown to sort of, yeah, it's almost a begrudging respect. But you do say, well, listen, this guy works that hard to make his game good, and he wants to win, and I can respect those things. I sort of felt the same way, and then came back around to hating about Favre, because Favre was a guy that I really didn't like. And then towards the end of the Packer thing, I said, yeah, I respect this guy. I think I kind of like him now. Good for him. And then it went completely kaplooey once he just turned into the Favre he became.
Yeah, well, it's weird. I mean, I don't know. You're right. I mean, there's a lot of athletes you could go. So Favre has sort of become the Uber one of those. I do want to have two more NBA notes before we move on to some other stuff. The first NBA note, which is a positive for the league by far, the highest ratings, I mentioned this briefly, the highest ratings for the All-Star game since 2003. They were up 35% from last year. And I can't figure out why. The game was in L.A., so maybe that's why. Maybe just the residual interest in the league because of the heat. And somebody made a joke last night that when the ratings came out yesterday, somebody made a joke that it could have been because people in New York tuned in to see Carmelo hoping that they would get him, and they were wondering if something would break during the game, and it just sort of, hey, let's put some. I just think it's a Sunday night. There's not much else on. It's the week before the Oscars. I actually thought the Oscars were last night too, or Sunday night too, but it's the week before the Oscars, and there's not much else going on, and you figure, why not tune in? It's the exhibition that everyone likes to watch because there's like 170 points scored on each side.
But it seems to me, as we're moving on with sports throughout this calendar year, everything is the highest rating it's been in blank number of years.
Yeah, that's so right. You're right.
I'm struggling to figure out why. And I don't know if it's because, I mean, maybe people are still afraid to use disposable income, and so therefore staying in and watching television is still sort of the optimal thing to do, and sports is the least depressing of them. You know, because the football, obviously, the ratings inexplicably went up every week for every single event. The Pro Bowl ratings were huge. I don't know what the hockey ratings looked like.
Well, actually, the Pro Bowl is explicable because it was in prime time and it was on Fox. I mean,
that's true. Yes, it was. That one went well. I think the test of all of these ratings going up will be, let's see what happens with the tournament this year. I'm very curious to see if the ratings go up for that, or if they stay flat or go down, and that could be more of an indictment of the sport than it is of people's hunger to just watch something. And also, let's face it, it's been a pretty cold, nasty winter, and I don't think people have been all that motivated to try to go anywhere, so television is another good option.
And I think, contrary to our next little story here, to what Buzz Bissinger thinks, the NBA is a better product. I think people are starting to come back around. We talked about this last year. The NBA is a better product, and they finally gotten major markets relevant again. Chicago is the best team in the East. I mean, people talked about the Heat and talked about the Celtics running away with the Eastern Conference, but from what I'm trusting other people's opinions on this, but by what everyone says, the Bulls might win the Eastern Conference. They're at least in the mix. Derrick Rose is an absolute star in this league, and getting Chicago back is a huge deal for the NBA because they were moribund for 8 years. Philadelphia, while not back by any means, at least in the attendance, there's a little bit of a buzz around the Sixers. They've been playing really, really well in the last 2 months, and they could make a playoff push. That team could be relevant, and obviously we talked about the Knicks. Now that they've got Carmelo, they were relevant again when Amari Stoudemire showed up, but now they have two of the top 15 stars in the league. The Lakers have gone to two championships, won two championships. The Celtics are relevant. The Heat, Miami's not a huge market. Dallas has a good team. They finally, except for Oklahoma City, who's got a good team and a terrible market, the good teams all seem to be in good markets.
Well, is Oklahoma City a terrible market? I don't know. I think it's a good basketball market, a live market. I think they care about that team.
No, right, but I'm saying there's like 900,000 people there. I mean, there's nobody in the town.
Right? No, it's
small
a,
market.
It's
I don't mean terrible. I don't mean terrible in a basketball sense. I mean terrible in a size. I apologize to the people there.
I was giving you a chance for that one. But I do think that certainly it's become. I think it's always been a star-driven league, but I think it's becoming – the stars are becoming more household names these days. You've got a mix of, like you said, a guy like a Kobe, Garnett, Allen, Pierce, guys who are older but still extremely relevant. You've got the middle guys, which, Wade, Bosch, all the guys in the Heat, Carmelo, who have been there long enough to have become household names. And then you've got the young guns sort of coming up as well with Griffin and Durant and even somebody like Westbrook on the in that terrible, terrible market you hate. when you add that up, I think they've got sort of the perfect storm, which, again, now that they're doing well, people seem to care again, and the ratings seem to be doing okay. They're threatening to blow it all up with their labor problems.
Oh, yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, if you listen, yeah, if you listen to Zillow, the other, I mean, I think they're just everybody's just waiting for it to happen. Which again, let's spin it to this, and people talked about it a lot, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. But Buzz Bissinger writes for the Daily Beast, and basically what he wrote was, "Oh crap, I have nothing to say about the NBA, so let me rip it." And somebody said yesterday that it reads like an article that Bissinger forgot about and had to finish on deadline, so spent 15 minutes on it. And look, when you start a column with "my editor thinks I should write something about professional basketball," you know it's going to be a crappy article. And it is. And I like Buzz Bissinger. He's been on the show. He's always been available. He's obviously has written many great things. And when you write many, many things like him, sometimes you write crappy things. And this is one of them. Because where's the line? Oh. There's a line in here. "I am not a basketball junkie and have no desire to be one." And then he continues to rip on the sport. And then he says at one point, "Well, I have no hardcore evidence. See, he's blaming the lack of interest, which is false because there's more interest this year in the NBA, on the fact that white people don't like the game anymore. Also false because the ratings are better and more people are watching. And it really has nothing to do with race. It has to do with big markets. And he has no hardcore evidence. So let me write 1,400 words of art about it."
Yeah, this seemed to be a gut feeling. I've talked to a couple of my friends' article, and this is what they think. I understand where he was going with it, and I don't know that it was the best way to approach it because, listen, as expensive as NBA tickets are these days, I think plenty of people in a very high socioeconomic stratosphere are buying those tickets up and going to these games. So I think that if he had taken a second to think about that, it really would have sort of blown up his whole theory. So, and it is funny that he says that because there was a giant discussion on locally in our sports talk the other day about how the reason the NHL is the fourth sport is that it has eliminated an entire section of the population that has no interest in it by virtue of the fact that, you know, African-Americans don't like hockey and don't watch it. So it's sort of going in a different direction off of this article. So it's interesting to see race being brought into the conversation with sports viewing habits on two different fronts. But, yeah, I think it was just a typical, like, provocateur article. Let's throw something out there, see what sticks. And I'm on Bissinger, so there really will be no consequences.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And I don't even want to nest. I mean, I just needed to bring up the nuts and bolts of the article to spread it back to a larger conversation. It was something that Ziller and I talked about the other day that I always struggle with the balance of trying to be, in essence, a general sports commentator. The stuff I write is about all the different sports. I try and frame it with what I did at Sporting News, but more obviously what I'm doing on my own with a media bent. Sometimes it doesn't always happen. Sometimes we just rant about sports, whether it be on the show or on the site. And I want people to care about my opinion. I expect people to read what I say and say, well, that was an intelligent part of the discussion. It may not always be, but when you write something, I think you anticipate adding something to a conversation. So you can only assume that other writers do the same thing. Yet I read this and say, what the hell do I care about Buzz Bissinger's opinion on the NBA? His editor told him to write about it and he has no interest. He wrote a book about LeBron James and all he does is rip LeBron James. The guy's just out there to make a buck, and the Daily Beast column that he had to write today was about making a buck. I don't care about his opinion. So it's hard for me to balance Bissinger's ignorant about the NBA. Yet you and I barely watch the NBA. We just spent the first 9 minutes of the show talking about the NBA. So why am I expecting our listeners to care about our opinion when it's probably as insignificant as his, yet I am now ripping him for his?
Well, so we're irrelevant. Good night, everybody.
No, you know what I mean? It's a tough balance, and I bring it, and I use the Bissinger thing to hop, skip, and jump to the Sports Reporters, a show that I have not watched in maybe 10 years. And I grew up on the Sports Reporters. We've talked about this a lot. You know, my dad was friendly with Dick Schaap, and he watched all the time. And I remember every Sunday morning, it was a ritual, sitting down, stopping whatever I was doing, whatever cartoons were on or whatever, when I was a little kid. And watching the Sports Reporters and learning about Bill Conlon, learning about Lupica and you know, Wilbon and Kornheiser were on that show. That's what I did every Sunday. And now, because there are so many more voices and so many more specialized voices, I don't care. There was a conversation, Michael Smith from ESPN, a guy whose name escapes me from the Boston Globe, Bill Roden from the New York Times, and John Saunders. And they were talking about NASCAR. And I looked at my dad. I happened to be at their house when it was on this weekend. I looked at my dad and said, what the hell do I care about four black guys from the Northeast talking about NASCAR? And it has nothing to do with them. I mean, I bring it up just as the point of fact of to Bissinger's, white guys don't like the NBA. Black guys don't like NASCAR. I mean, that's the first thing you think of. And I thought, should they have gotten anybody who maybe covered NASCAR on this? But that's how the show's always been. General sports columnists talking generally about sports. Yet in this day and age, that doesn't exist anymore. It's sort of an antiquated model. And it's sort of funny because I think that's sort of in a way what we do.
Well, it is. And it's funny you bring up that show because I watch it. You know, I probably tune in about it. You know, if I'm home and it's on, I will flip it on. And I do it I sort of do it as an experiment to see, all right, what do people who don't have time to follow everything think of anything? And I know that knowing that they're going to spout stuff that isn't necessarily the most well-informed opinion, but I just it's sort of say, okay, what is the general population? Because just person who doesn't have time to examine everything at all say about this, and that you're right, that has always been the framework of the show. But we are such a specialized culture these days. That is why the columns those guys tend to be the fodder for bloggers to make fun of and say, oh, here's this old moron, or even there's some younger guys in there who just writes about everything, blathering on about something they know nothing about, and let's make fun of it. And that's sort of what they produce now.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this, because I think you'd know this better than me. Michael Smith's parting shot on that show was about Michael Vick and how he missed an opportunity by not going on Oprah, and talked about how, you know, he should have done that. And we talked about it a little bit last week. But am I wrong in saying that I read somewhere last week that Oprah had planned on bringing the people who adopted Vick's dogs with the dogs into the studio? And that when that sort of news got funneled out, that's when the Vick camp said, we're not putting him in that situation. Am I making that up? Did I read that on Bleacher Report, or is that something that you heard as well?
I did not hear it, but it sounds like, A, it sounds like something she would do, and B, it sounds like the exact reason one would back out of an interview like that, because apparently they had done a bunch of pre-taping and planning. This wasn't I'm going to show up, do an interview, and leave. They had started to plot this thing out. I do know that, and then he backed out of it, which kind of ticked her off. So I had not heard that, but it does not surprise me.
Okay, so I may be making that up, and I apologize for spreading a rumor. But it sounds like a pretty good rumor, and it sounds like something that is completely plausible, which may be a dangerous rumor to start. We should start this rumor. If it's not out there, I've just started it. So please disperse this and credit somebody else. But it does bring up an interesting point of, if I heard it, then you would think that somebody who's going to talk about it on television probably heard it, and it would change the opinion because that's a setup. I mean, now Vic's people should have known about this beforehand, before they announced that he was going to be on. I think it's worse to announce it and then pull back than to never announce it at all. So that's the PR mistake. But not as bad a mistake as putting Michael Vick on a set of Oprah with dogs in front of him. The dogs that he mutilated. That's a terrible PR situation for him. Whether you think what he did is right or wrong, and no one thinks what he did was right. If you're the PR people for him, you can't let that happen.
No, you can't. So somebody is doing a good job of protecting him. Frankly, I think someone's been doing a good job of protecting him since he came back. But yeah, listen, if you're going to comment on sports, and the same thing will happen to us, because, you know, you're going to say some stuff that you can't read every single solitary thing that's out there. You're right. You would have thought that, but maybe I didn't see it and you can't even remember where you saw it, then it's not, you know, really that bad if Smith didn't see it either. I don't.
Oh, and again, I could be making it up. I mean, it could be somebody's tweet. Honestly, I'm not necessarily blaming him, but I'm thinking like, man, if I saw that, then
I'm hoping. You know where it probably was? There's a Bleacher Report headline with a question mark at the end of it. It said, Oprah to bring Vic's dogs on the show.
By the way, how's that trade going to the Lakers?
Yeah, really.
That's the first thing I thought of when Carmelo was traded to the Knicks, and we talked about this last week, so I don't want to belabor this point, but the original headline that Bleacher Report corrected and we gave them credit for doing was Carmelo traded to Lakers. How can the Knicks react or let this happen or whatever it was? And the exact opposite happened. The Knicks actually ended up getting, maybe that's what charged them to do it. Maybe the Dolan family was reading Bleacher Report and said, what? Traded to the Lakers. We need to fix this.
hey, that was the plan all along, apparently, for getting them involved, was to push the Knicks to give more. So
right.
It was a conspiracy with the incompetent Nuggets management and Bleacher Report.
Indeed. Let's go from sort of, in a way, newspaper people and media people maybe spreading the wings a little too far and talking in a general sense when most people, at least bloggers, feel the general columnist is dead, to specific sports people making themselves the story. We didn't get a chance to talk about this last week. Grant Wall, who is, I guess, the best soccer writer, I mean, one of the top two, without a doubt, soccer writers in America, writes for Sports Illustrated, has written, you know, book, at least one book, if not more books, bestseller. And by the way, one of the nicest people in the world. I sat next to him at the U.S. Men's National match in Philadelphia. Just helpful and just the greatest guy. He made himself the story last week, and I want to get your take on this because I'm in the middle on this. He wrote an article, a column, saying nobody is going to really significantly challenge Sepp Blatter for the next FIFA presidency and the FIFA elections coming up. He wants to run. I mean, and you think, oh, it's a, you know, funny tongue-in-cheek look at how terrible Sepp Blatter's reign has been and how he's, you know, misogynistic and sexist and hates gays and this and that and is in everybody's pocket and there's so much corruption in FIFA. But then you have the lead of his column. It says, after careful consideration, I have an announcement to make. I'm running for the president of FIFA in the election to be held on June 1st. Ha, ha, ha. And no, I'm not kidding. So when you write that, even if you still are kidding, you've now written, and no, I'm not kidding. And then he basically spends five paragraphs saying why he could be a viable candidate. It's a legitimate thing. He's gotten on television. CNN International did an interview with him the next day. He's been all over. This was the biggest story, at least on my Twitter feed, and I follow a lot of soccer people, in all of American soccer for like 2 days. Are you cool with media people making themselves the story? This is the same thing Bill Simmons did when he tried to become the GM of the Bucks or something like a couple years ago. And I made that point on Twitter, that, you know, a couple minutes after Wall wrote this. Is this fun? Does this shed light on things? Or is this go from covering a sport to try and become a sport? Or covering a story, rather, to trying to become a story?
It depends on why it's being done. I honestly think that – I think Simmons did that because Simmons really legitimately, in his heart, believes that he could be an NBA general manager. He thinks he could do it. But at the same time, it was shtick. But I think he believes his own words, but wanted to sort of and I think he likes his ego stroke. Therefore, I'll put this out there so people will go, yeah, that's great. You're right. You're so smart. You'll be great at that. Where with Wall, I don't know enough about Wall to say one way or the other, but it seems to me that this was more a vehicle to criticize. You know, not that people haven't criticized this regime and haven't criticized over the years this presidency, but it seemed to me it was more of a vehicle to bring up, here are the specific problems, and here's how I would fix it as a layperson. Not looking to get the ego stroke per se, but to say even a regular guy could fix this. Maybe that was the premise. I'm just completely speculating.
I know, but then you know? But there has been such a groundswell. He has his own tweet. First of all, when he tweeted out the article, he did it in like six different languages because there's a lot of people around the world who follow him. He's been using this Wall for FIFA presidency or whatever. I mean, he's – It feels real, and I should just – I mean, I'm going to try to get him on the show, but it feels real enough that people can take it seriously. And at his point – and this is the close of his column. Plus, my candidacy has precedent. The first FIFA president was a sports journalist, and so were two of the seven others, including once upon a time Sepp Blatter. FIFA's newest vice president, Jordan's Prince Ali, is a Princeton graduate in his mid-30s with a short resume in soccer administration. Hey, so am I. He is. He's in his mid-30s. He went to Princeton, and obviously he writes about soccer but doesn't have too much of a history in the administrative side of it. I almost think he's serious. Again, because I really, really like Grant, this is a cool story. But if this were almost anybody else in media, I would be crushing this as just megalomania.
Because if this was somebody saying, I could do a better job than David Stern, or you know, then it would be – I would – go more in the direction of you know, egomania, megalomania. Look at me, look at me, look at me. But you're talking about a corrupt system and a president everyone despises. So I think it gives you more latitude to write a piece like this and not be looked at as trying to just draw attention to yourself because the situation is so bad. You're just sort of piling on and adding to it and drawing more attention to it rather than just saying, here's a guy who's done a great job, but I bet you I could do a better job. Then I think I would tend to go the other direction.
And I do think the one thing with Simmons is that he wrote this similar thing about being a GM in the NBA and then continued to write it. Now, Wall is just sort of taking this to Twitter. I don't think that Wall has written a full column, and I don't think it's going to be like a six-month thing. Now, maybe it is. I mean, maybe he'll be doing this every week until June, and maybe he'll actually go on a campaign. And if that's the case, then I think he sort of jumped the shark on this whole thing. But if he just does it once and then lets it sort of swell up on Twitter, and maybe Simmons would have done that had Twitter existed back when he did this 4 or 5 years ago, just let it feed out through Twitter. But Simmons continued to sort of write about this and challenge the GM of the team. He basically was trying to get a GM fired so he could get the job at some point. And I think that's the difference in this. You're right. I think it started out fun for both of them, and maybe eventually Simmons became a little bit more serious. Let's hope Wall doesn't get too serious about this, because he has gotten a lot of support in the last week for this.
Can one simply just run for president organization?
His point in this is that he needs... The public doesn't vote. And he even wrote in this, like, I'd probably beat Seth Blatter. This is a New Jersey governor situation. I could have beaten John Corzine. Chris Christie is going to be a presidential candidate in the United States because he ran against John Corzine and got the governorship of New Jersey, which is a very popular and populous and a very important state. But anyone could have beaten John Corzine. So in Wall's point, if it was a fan vote, anyone could beat Seth Blatter. So if he were up for it, he would certainly win. But the FIFA nations all have one vote. And there's no way politically that they would vote for Grant Wall over Seth Blatter. Because if they turn out to vote for the wrong guy, hell hath no fury. Like a Blatter scored.
Oh my.
Do you have anything else today?
God, you know, I should after such a this long weekend. But I don't think anything interesting happened. I was just framing walls in my mother's basement, cleaning my house. So it was rather boring.
I was supposed to go to three old punk rock shows, and I only managed to go to one because I got sick, which is...
Because you're old.
No, I got... Zoe had pink eye, and then I got... It's been a tough couple of weeks, and yeah, I mean, there's stuff that we will address maybe this week on the show, because yeah, we'll address it soon. Deal it on the DLPodcast.com. That's not even a professional tease, just an obnoxious tease. Feel bad about that. I retract the last minute of the show. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow.